Ladies, 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 how are your guts? Today we are talking about everything guts. Gut health and nutrition and things that you should do, things you probably know you should do, and things that maybe you don't know that you should do to improve your gut health and extend your lifespan. So let's hit it hard.
Let me start with, for several years, Shannon has been talking to us about gut health.
Yeah.
And I, every time she starts to talk about it, I glaze over and go, I don't understand. I don't know what leaky gut means. I don't know. Somebody hand me another piece of pizza. Right? So this is me a couple years ago, over the last few years. As of a month ago, everything changed for me. And all because of beloved girlfriends who said, I have this youth group that I travel with. And one of the gals said, we should do a wellness trip. And immediately we said, but there's alcohol. There has to be alcohol. As long as there's alcohol, I'm on any trip that we're going on, right? So one of the friends used to be an expert in this field of the gut health and understanding what's going on, your biodome of the belly kind of thing. And so we asked her to give us a little instruction on what it means, how are we doing, what should we do differently.
Right.
And it all started from, she said, okay, you got to order this test, and it's viome.com, V-I-O-M-E.com. And order the test. You send in a little finger prick, blood samples, and then a stool sample, which is a story for another day.
It's an adventure.
Or maybe not a public conversation.
She did not stutter.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious. Anyways, so you send in these results, and it comes back with, so I'm someone who's done the Everly Well tests. I've probably done 4 Everly Well tests that for food sensitivity, because I always thought something makes me really bloated. I don't know what it is. So I did the Everly Well test, and it said, okay, here's the things you're sensitive to, which was helpful. And then I had an allergic reaction to something, and through them testing the rash, she said, oh, and by the way, you're allergic to wheat. Okay, that was good information. So this Viome test was like the next evolution of information. So from this test that you send in and you get back, it will tell you your gut health through all the different scores, and it'll tell you why and what they test for. But the most important thing for me was it'll tell you what your superfoods are, what foods you should avoid completely, which ones you should minimize, and which ones you can enjoy all day long. And so there were 9 of us. There were probably 6 of us that had done the test, had the results. Vastly different person to person, which I thought was so fascinating. Tomatoes were on my don't eat list, and they were on another gal's superfood list. And, of course, I have tomatoes every day in pasta, sauce, salsa, all these different things. So I think the Everly Well test was good to tell me where my sensitivities were, but this one goes even farther to say, here's what your superfoods are. Like, here's what you should be eating, and here's what you should not be eating. So 3 weeks in, down 8 pounds, down pant sizes, my stomach is shrinking. So I'm not someone who is naturally curious like Shannon. Like, I don't want to do anything unless I have to, kind of lazy person. And so here I did this because, one, it was a girlfriend's weekend.
Yeah.
And 2, you have someone you trust with some expertise and you go, okay, drill it through me. Well, it's turned into this massive change in my life in that, okay, take these out of your diet, add these in. And 3 weeks later, I feel like, not a new person, but a better person. Energy level, I feel better, I'm not as tired, all those things. So this is kind of how this topic came up. I, of course, came back and told the girls, oh my God, this gut health stuff, and blah, blah, blah. And of course, Shannon's like, I've been telling you that for 2 years. I know. So we thought, hey, if we're learning from this, we've got Shannon the expert. I've got my notes from my time at the girls' weekend. And Ashley's our exercise pro. Let's talk about gut health.
So I have been aware of how important your gut health is for many years. Now, that's not to say that I am practicing all the things I am preaching, although I have been big into probiotics and fiber and that sort of thing, things that I know help balance the gut. I recently joined up, so I follow Beachbody.com. I have a gal named Shelby that's my coach, used to be my neighbor, and they just released a program. This Autumn Calabrese released a program called, it's a 4-week gut protocol, and then they also have a like a workout with it that's 4 weeks for everybody that's like a non, what's the word I'm looking for? Impact. It's a non-impact workout. And so being an older woman, a mature, whatever that you want to call me, you're not supposed to be bouncing around so much. So that workout was great. Now what
more things bounce now exactly. than they used to. So it's not fun.
I know. It's not good on me to bounce around. So now I followed it really well for the first 2 weeks. It felt really great. And I would like lots more plants and cutting out alcohol, cutting out sugar, gluten, corn, wheat, all the things that could be potentially irritating to the gut. So it's kind of a food elimination program, which I think is great. But being a little food addict that I am, I'm occasionally compliant and occasionally non-compliant. So what I did, I followed Elisa's lead and I signed up for the Viome test. I did my samples. I am anxiously waiting because I feel like for me, I'm going to have the evidence of what I should not be eating to force myself not to do it.
Yep.
And so I'm super excited to find out what my, well, I know for sure gluten because my husband and I went to Mexican the other night and I hadn't worked out. And so at 9 o'clock, I finally forced myself to work out and my belly was so puffed up from the tortilla. I was doing these ab exercises and it was like I had a big old volleyball in my belly. I was like, trying to touch my toes. This one thing I was like, for the love, I'm clearly bothered by gluten. Look at my gut.
But what's so interesting is when you know what triggers it and then you have it, you're less mad about it because you're like, I know it's not going to last because tomorrow I know I'm going to take my enzymes and it's all coming out of me.
Exactly.
So I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm less like confused and annoyed because once you, if you choose to do it, that's fine.
Right.
And you know what triggered it.
Right.
And then you're not upset about it.
So I think information is power.
Yeah.
Right. I think it'll
you
be,
bet.
I can't wait to know.
Yes.
And it's interesting how your gut health, I mean, from what I've learned from listening to Autumn, she meets with all these other professionals and physicians about how it affects brain fog and obviously your energy, like you said, and your immune system is huge in your gut. And so you will definitely, you know, your immune system resides in there. So there's different things that you can do to improve that. So it's really fascinating once you delve into it. So
one of the things I remembered from like trying an elimination diet, like what is it that's bothering me? In the last podcast, we talked about superpowers. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about kryptonite. One of my kryptonites is I have zero patience. So I couldn't do an elimination diet because I can't do anything long enough to figure out, then diagnose the results. This helps you just go, here's a sheet that says.
Amen.
And I got to tell you, it's been darn accurate. The other night, I had a bunch of wasabi almonds. My hands were so swollen and felt so arthritic. Mm-hmm. And they hurt all night. I was like, because I had those almonds are on my no list. It's not the wasabi. Just don't, let's not go there. It's not the salty wasabi. Yeah. It's the almonds, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But I know when I had popcorn and candy the other night. I was just like, screw it. I need a treat. Same thing.
And
felt like crap.
My hands hurt. They ache. It's so weird. I think it's
once you know,
sugar.
Then it's so weird because you go, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Move on. I'll be better tomorrow. Yeah.
So I took some notes from Ruth's talk with us. Do you want me to go through those or do you want to?
Yeah.
What do we want to go into?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah, kick it off.
So thanks, by the way, to Ruth. The master of great information. And she's so wonderful because it was 9 very type A women who are very much in control of everything in their lives, right? And so to get this information and to say, here's where you might not be doing very well was a very delicate conversation for poor Ruth to have. And she's just so wonderfully balanced. She's into the chakras and we talked about the chakras and all that. So here was Ruth's advice. So if you're going to get into your gut health, my advice is start from this Viome report. There's no way you're going to know this information or something like that if you're dealing with a functional medicine doctor. Find out what your superfoods are. I think that's more important than what your no's are because just removing things doesn't tell me what to eat more of.
What
right?
were yours again? Apples and?
Apples, bananas.
Gosh,
all kinds of different things. Nuts. Some nuts were fine for sure. Leaf, lettuce, tofu, trying to think, I didn't even print off my list.
That's okay.
But,
yeah, I was just curious.
All the veggies, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, all really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then some surprising things were on the bad list. So it was interesting. And I should add to this, I'm 90% vegetarian. And so this is really relative to my style of eating. And it will give you the results based on a vegetarian or non-vegetarian diet. You could just move this little dongle over and it'll add meats and chicken and fish.
Oh.
So it's pretty amazing. It takes a couple weeks to get back, but it's good. So Ruth's advice, change one thing at a time. So after I got back with my report and my time with Ruth, I, again, used my kryptonite and did everything at once. I started taking the supplements, the vitamins. I removed all the avoids. I started all the ads, all these things. And she says, don't do that so that you can figure out how you react to every little thing you're changing.
Okay.
So if you add a supplement, do that for a week. See how that goes. If you're going to remove something, do that. Do one thing at a time, which I did 10 things at a time. So I don't know which is better, but I don't have patience to do one. the other thing she said was get a functional medicine doctor. These are medical professionals that are interested in finding out the cause of any issues that you're having gut health-wise or medical-wise, not treating the symptoms. And she said, you know, just because of the way medicine is today, you go to the doctor, they give you a prescription for something to fix the symptom. Functional medicine doctors are going to do all the blood work, all the studies, find out what the problem is. This is how one of our good girlfriends, shout out to Leslie, who really started this idea for us. This is how she found out one of her major underlying medical conditions, which you wouldn't have known because they don't just randomly run that test. So that helped. She said, reduce the processed foods. Yeah.
Ding, ding.
That's so hard.
That's so hard.
I love processed foods. I love all those preservatives that are killing me. It's so yummy.
I was joking with my husband last night and said, he's like, what do you need from the store? And I was listening to things like, I'm like, and Oreos and Chips Ahoy. And I'm like, just kidding. And then he shows up with Chips Ahoy.
Oh, no.
And I ate some.
Yep.
I ate like six of them because I have no self-control.
You know.
I can't have
processed
it in the house.
Foods are yummy on purpose.
Oh,
right? This is the whole food trend where
addictive.
They went away from weekend markets or your fruit market and they went to canned food for the military so that they could stock up on supplies. And now that's fast food and processed foods is how we eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even I thought healthy things. If they're processed, she's like, I wouldn't eat them if you can.
I know. It's rough.
Mm.
Natural olive oil. So I had no idea on this. Shannon or Ashley, you guys might have more info on this, but she said, you know, whatever you call it, extra virgin olive oil. Mm-hmm. She goes, it should be a green bottle, never plastic, and it should have a very strong olive odor.
Mm.
She said, you want real olive oil, not the stuff you get off most of the kitchen shelf or the grocery store shelves. Mm. You need real olive oil.
Okay.
And I'll post on our Ladies Night In page the ones that she suggested. Get these because, again, I have no I'm lazy. I don't want to do any research. I just want to know what did everybody else get and just show me that, and that's what I got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one that we took when I made the pasta in McCall, that was a good one. And it was in a heavy glass dark green bottle, and it was really quite lovely. But, yeah, it is – you do know the difference when you have one that –
is a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ghee instead of butter. Mm-hmm. Is that how you say it? Ghee?
Ghee.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know what ghee was. Do you know what ghee
no.
is?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Clarified butter.
It just takes the
just
milk
clarified
solid
butter.
Out.
Yeah.
It takes the what out?
The milk solid. So, and you can actually make it in your crock pot. One of the girls was telling me.
Here's another difference between us.
Yeah.
No.
You sure can.
You can buy it too. And it's best if you're going to do ghee to get organic grass-fed butter that you're going to make your ghee from or buy it. It's very expensive. So that's why people are like, I am not buying that. And so you can, like, buy some Kerrygold grass-fed butter, throw it in your crock pot. Apparently, like, take the lid off and just let it cook at home. And then you just scrape the milk off the top and you have ghee. Like,
it's, there you
like,
go.
As no-brainer as it goes. Like, and you don't put the lid on it. And I was like, oh, that's good to know. But then you, the grass-fed.
Just take the dairy off the top.
Yeah, the grass-fed is just a different fat.
Healthier
that is,
for you.
It's healthier fat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she said it, you know, anything that you would normally cook with butter, just cook with ghee.
Kind of is nutty and yummy. I like it, but some people hate it. My trainer hates it. She's like, makes me gag. I think it's good.
So One of the other things that I finally grasped, even though Shannon's been telling me, is the enzymes after you eat.
Yeah.
Before.
So
I do before.
Oh, she has us after.
She has
after
you
every
after.
Meal.
After. Mm-hmm. Maybe after I'm doing every meal. It wrong.
Yeah. She said that's what helps your body break down the food and get it out of the system.
See, yep. I think I've been doing it backwards because I think my supplement says before.
Yeah. So she had diced up pineapple for us to eat as enzymes. Which is so natural, or you can do it the way I do it, because again, no patience to chop up pineapple, is you get these little chewables, and it's papaya extract.
Ooh, yeah.
Enzymes, and it tastes like candy. Oh, so every meal afterwards, I get three pieces of candy, and they're enzymes, and they help break down that food and get it out of your system, and I gotta tell you what, that worked day one. It was incredible. It gets that food right out of your belly.
See if you can read this.
Oh, okay. I was hesitant because I didn't want to.
My glasses aren't working very well.
Take one capsule right before eating a meal.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, no, she said ours.
She said after.
Yeah.
All right.
And it works great for me.
I think that I might switch it up.
So if you do one thing from this podcast, get yourself a bottle of papaya enzymes. I'll post it on the Facebook and Instagram page so you know which one if you aren't sure which one to get. It was not expensive, and they are delicious.
Did you get them at
Mike's even hooked on them.
Co-op?
Amazon.
Just on Amazon. Perfect.
Yep. Yep. One of the other things she said is get all organic foods. And she goes, I know. It's not as easy. It's not as inexpensive. But she said, you are literally, if you're spraying your yard with Roundup, if they're spraying their fruit with Roundup and then putting it on the shelves and giving it to you, you're eating the Roundup. She goes, buy the organic foods. Just do it. It's better for you. So we've started doing that, much to my poor husband's thrifty soul. It hurts. He's doing it. And he came home the other day and said, that's the most expensive grocery trip I've ever made with ghee. And you know what?
Okay.
That's okay. We deserve it.
Yeah.
We deserve to have foods that are grown with the least amount of pesticides. Mm-hmm. So I'm down that road now.
That's awesome. Yeah, that Autumn Calabrese was talking. She's like, quit eating the junk. You are what you eat. I mean, and food is medicine. And that's, like I said, it's a total, it's a challenge for sure. And you have to be prepared. That's one of the things that you do have to prepare for your week, because it's so easy to fall into bad habits. So if those are the primary things, you do have to cut up your vegetables or have them. You know what I mean? You do have to prep.
Prep, yep.
And that's when I'm most successful, when I prep. And when I don't, I go right back to my old habits. So
I'm finding out what I can go get or what I can order that fits within mine if I haven't prepped.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just not going to 100% of the time. So I have figured out certain things I can order on DoorDash that fit within.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like a soup or a, so I'll do like a soup from Panera or a sandwich, like an unwich with the lettuce wrap from Jimmy John's, where it's just lettuce, cheese. Again, I'm a veggie, so it's just a veggie person.
Well, that
So I have to have something that's easy or I'm going to fall off the wagon. Couple of the things that I thought Ruth shared that was so easy but so fascinating. Chew your food to the consistency of soup.
I totally was doing it yesterday.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking to myself, stop. I'd chew and I'd be talking and doing something else and I would swallow and then I'd kind of cough because of my reflux. I'm supposed to chew my food more. And so literally I'm doing that and I'm thinking of you all the time as I'm like eating. I'm like, and it takes a lot of effort to chew salad to the
consistent. And a long time.
A long time. And so, yeah, I'm constantly.
Two benefits to this. So chew your food so that your body can digest the nutrients easier. But the second benefit for me is that it takes me longer to eat. So I'm a speed eater.
Yes.
You know, kid four of five. It is eat as fast as you can so you can get back and pick the channel on the television, right? Or so you can get on to the next thing. Again, no patience.
Right.
So if you chew to the consistency of soup, it takes forever. And I'll be darned if I don't realize I'm full sooner than I would have before because I have to take longer to eat.
You have to take longer to eat.
Yeah.
But do you have to think about it?
Like,
I'm like,
you have to be a mindful eater.
Yeah,
you
that's one of those hard habits to change is chewing it and not swallowing it right away because we're so anxious for the next bite or to do something else.
Yes.
Say something. Yeah.
Yes, because I was talking with my boss yesterday and he was showing me stuff about this cruise we're going on. I'm like, nom, 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 and I'm like, mm-hmm. oop. Slow down.
It was like the spit test thing that I did with that Everly. Well, I kept spitting and spitting and spitting. I'm like, there's no spit in here. This is taking forever. Chewing your food takes just as long, apparently.
I'll tell you a funny thing with my Viome test that I did. Yeah. So, okay, you have to do a blood test. And you prick your finger with this little lancet thing.
Yeah.
And I've read the instructions, like, after the fact, like, you know, impatient person. So you're supposed to, like, hang your finger upside down and just kind of let it drip. So, and it's running down my hand. I'm trying to collect this blood. And I'm like, shit. So I turn, and then I'm squeezing my finger. Well, I'll be damned if my finger isn't still numb. The whole tip of my finger. So I either.
You took all the blood out of that thing.
I stabbed a nerve or I pinched it so freaking hard. So I was like. Argh.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
If you read the instructions, people. For the your impatient people. So, yeah,
that's good. That's why they include four of those lancets, because they're like, we know you're going to do this wrong at least twice.
I pushed the button one time. I was like, shit. It would have been a funny video to watch me do that test. And the
They also give you the equipment for two different episodes of bowel sample.
In case you
do wrong almost all the time the first time. Let me just put it out there.
Like you miss? Like
we're not gonna go into it, but okay. I'm just gonna leave it up to the imagination, right? Like it's hilarious. If you've never had to do that, it's hilarious.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
It
and I remember funny. I did it the morning after, like three straight days of patio parties, pizza, beer, wine. I mean, I was like, this should have a dangerous hazardous materials label on it. I said it in. Not good.
That is too funny. Well, since we've been chatting, we have had a guest join us in the studio. Ashley, introduce your
guest. Yeah, Joni, I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
Well, much for having me. I'm
thanks sorry, for I was, joining like, us.
Sprinting over, and I always underestimate how long it takes to get from Micron part of town to downtown, and then to find parking, the real wild years. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
The nurse in me had to chuckle a little bit about the lancet. I've seen that so many times.
So what did she do? Did she damage a nerve? She's numb.
You know,
I'm certain that I did. I'm certain that I
was
put
way too much pressure on it, so that went in much deeper than it's designed to do. And your fingers have really detailed nerve endings, so...
Oh, yeah. It's been cracking me up. I'm like, I did a number on that.
Is it permanent?
I don't know. I doubt it.
I doubt it.
But like, because now I'd only really just surprised. The very tip is numb, not all the way through. I'm like, shit. Because I did this one too, and this one's fine. I was like, I need more blood.
Give it time.
Yeah.
We have a nurse in the building. I'm so glad that I already talked about my stuff because I don't want you to hear whether it's right or wrong.
Oh, my goodness.
No, your stuff was awesome.
You're speaking my language.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah. Blood, poo, the whole nine yards.
Yes, exactly.
We have a code brown.
Right? Yeah, I'm an expert in that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I love it.
So funny. Yeah, so I'm here visiting for the week because I'm was invited to speak at the Carbon Summit yesterday, which was awesome because it was all about impact agriculture and healthy foods and nutritional density and topics that I love to talk about. So that was fun. And then I just went out to one of our partners. We locally source grains from Idaho. And I show up and they're having this big lunch party and I got to hang out with the whole family. And that's always a fun perk as a business owner when you're like, oh, grandpa and grandma are here and the baby.
Aww.
And like all the generations. So
that's awesome.
It was really cool. So yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tell us about your, Ashley sent just a brief little snapshot of what your business is. And so tell us.
Well, I have an interesting background in that I came from like early on. In my life, I was what's called an ethnobotanist. So, you know, herbal medicine, but like pharmaceutical chemistry overlay with kind of an academic focus. And, you know, I got to really kind of get down and dirty with like the fundamentals of holistic healthcare and took a deep dive in digestion and digestive health and all things having to do with the microbiome. Mm-hmm. And then fast forward a few years, I'm in my 30s. I'm like, you know, it's cool. My husband goes to work and then he comes home and he's like, save two people and help someone have a baby, you know, because he was an ER nurse, like in rural Alaska. I had FOMO. I'm like, dude, that's cool. Like, I want to help people like that. Yeah. So I went and got my nursing degree. And then fast forward another decade, I'm sitting there in the ICU and I'm looking at my patients and I'm like, dang, 60% of the people here are here for diet-related disease. This is crazy. And I'm talking to my patients and I was pursuing diabetic education as like a side gig because I love the education piece and I love working with people. And I was like, we've got to figure out a better grain. Like, we need to hack the grain industry because the grain industry is, like, so messed up. Mm-hmm. And it's messing up people's microbiomes. It's covered with chemicals that also mess with your microbiome. It's processed and reduced to a point where it's not a whole food anymore. And it's causing a whole host of problems. And the way we're growing it from a nutritional standpoint, you know, we have high yields, but we have really low nutrition.
Yeah.
And so that's what we talked about yesterday, which was awesome. Fun. Yeah.
So gut health. Okay. So I mean, you've really dived into that or dove into it.
Yeah.
So when you and I were talking this morning, you mentioned anxiety, depression, all this stuff that stems from that.
Oh gosh.
I'm going to let you elaborate on that.
Yeah. That's such a huge topic. And to me, it's so tragic that we don't make that connection in every person. Like, you know, if you're suffering from any sort of mental health concerns, unless it's like, oh, I'm just having a day, I'm anxious, I'm being bitchy, like, well, that's probably just from other reasons.
You're hormonal. Yeah.
But, like, you know, we have...
Or you're surrounded by idiots.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, surrounded by idiots does it every time. But
not that I ever am.
Every time. But, you know, like, anymore, it's just, there's so many people that are chronically sad. And when you take the deeper dive, and I started to notice this in nursing, that there's these clusters of conditions, and the acid reflux is definitely one of them. And we have, like, a huge portion of our population on things that suppress the excretion of hydrogen ions, which changes the entire digestive tract. Now, there are those people that need them, because if it were untreated, they'd have other complications that are life-threatening. But I tend to take a more holistic model where I'm like, well, what's triggering that to happen in the first place? Like, is it a diet thing? Is it, do we need to boost up the digestive secretions? Like, maybe your liver's taken a beating over the last couple of years and you're not having the bile, you know, coming in to play like it should, or maybe the pancreas, or, you know, that maybe you need digestive enzymes. And I just feel like as a society, we need to take a deep dive in like a supportive role to digestion. And then of course, probiotics, like what we were talking about. And I just see time and time again that people who have really disrupted microbiomes tend to have very severe depression symptomology. And I've always wanted to talk to, like, someone in actual psychology and mental health about this, because in the ICU, we frequently get people in there for sepsis. And sepsis is like an infection in your blood. So thank God we have antibiotics, because we can nuke the hell out of the bacterium and we can save your life. And it's a very, very lethal condition that can happen for a number of reasons. Sometimes not even anything having to do with your general state of health, like a, oh, crud, you know, this happened and now boom, septicemia. And so we started to notice, and this became a more discussed thing in medical circles about 15 years ago, that we call it surviving sepsis depression. Wow. And that we get these people in the ICU and we're giving them like a long-term antibiotic therapy, heavy, heavy duty. And they get out, and for a number of reasons, could be setting them up for depression. But I started to think, I wonder if it's from disrupted gut microbiome, like in part. And those people often complain of chronic digestion issues leaving the ICU as well. So I'm sure somebody's studying this. I ended up leaving the ICU, so I never really took a dive in that direction. But, you know, someday it's like one of those things I'd love to do like a metadata review on, or get some scientists and some nursing and some healthcare people and some microbiologists and say, let's like take a deep dive into this. Cause what could we learn about the population as a whole?
I like, was just, listening to a doc that's really big into the gut health and all of that recently. Of course, I do not remember his name.
Zach Bush, maybe?
I have no idea. It was like a podcast guy.
He's a very well-known person in this, huh?
Yeah. I've met him, and he's an interesting guy. Yeah.
Well, he was really big into, of course, after long-term antibiotic for whatever. He talked about C. diff and all of that.
Yeah.
But he talked about how it's becoming more accepted. And this, my dad almost received this therapy after having C. diff, of having a stool.
Yeah, fecal transplant.
Fecal transplant. Mm-hmm. And, like, the thought of that is so foul, right? But at the same time, that is so fascinating that we're going to go there to repopulate that gut health and those. It's really fascinating that people are starting to understand that even sometimes once you've been so depleted from all of those antibiotics, even from childhood, they said that it can just mess you up totally long term, and that you could kind of balance that back out. And really, that's why I'm so excited about this test, is to really understand my biome and see where I'm at. Like, I'm so curious. I can't wait.
You know, these tests are really fascinating to me because I know sometimes people are like, oh, it's like 23andMe all over again. They're just going to sell my data. And I'm like, yeah, but you guys, it's the first time we've ever built a huge body of data about the gut microbiome. Yeah. And people are willingly doing it because they are not feeling good.
Right.
And so it's like, when you think about that, you know, in like a free market, area where they're like, and maybe we can figure out a really cool way to help solve your problems. My, one of my children ended up doing that as well. And they customized a blend of probiotics just specifically
for. That's what I'm on for, with Viome.
Yeah. That's and Viome. We're seeing improvement.
Yeah. I'm a different person than I was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Overall. I bet you're having a lot more energy and just like night and day, huh?
I can't wait.
Just not eating tomatoes. Son of a gun.
Right? Yeah, I think we really underestimate like the power that the microbiome of the gut has over our. It's like a whole other organism in there that it's we just ignore.
It's your belly brain. Didn't they call it that or something like that?
It's your belly brain.
Well, the other thing that I thought was interesting about Viome, when I did some more looking into it, they ask you if you would be willing to participate in additional studies. Oh, wow. You're not going to be rewarded for it necessarily, but they said, basically, we're using your information to research further. Like, will you participate? And it's going to help forward this medicine or further this medicine or whatever you want to say. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. And I was like, yeah, I would do that. Mm-hmm. I would totally help with that because they need people to volunteer to do these uncomfortable tests to further this medicine, to further this understanding of what's going on.
Well, and then if you can show like pre, you know, treatment.
Oh, I can't wait.
Versus post-treatment biome.
Yeah.
And then maybe they reevaluate and give you a new one that's now, it's like complex ecosystem study. Mm-hmm. They're more like biologists than they are healthcare people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, and when it came out, it is fascinating.
It came back with, you need 43 supplements to get your microbiome back in shape.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, I can either buy it from you or I can go out and buy 43 and figure out. I'm like, no, they'll send me the pre-mixed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it isn't like a sales thing at all. It's like, hey, you know, here's what you should take. Mm-hmm. Create it on your own or we'll mix it for you. But either way.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, with my child, it was fascinating because they made the recommendation and then we just had a number of events that just was like, you know, it just sat there for a few months without us initiating anything, which is kind of lame. I'm going to admit it. One of those mom moments that I'm not super proud of. But
that human thing.
They never hounded us.
Yeah.
Like, it was never like, you need to buy this. You're letting your gut go. You know, and it was just kind of like, we're here when you need us.
Yep.
We're here. And I thought that was really interesting positioning. Like, I own a company, too, and I really detest pushy, salesy stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or like when they leverage guilt, you know, so you're feeling guilty. Right. And they didn't do any of that stuff. It was
Who did
just
you go through? Who was your test?
I'll have to ask. Like, I can't remember because it's been a little while. Like, it was probably last spring. And I can see the bottle and it's very nondescript. Like, it doesn't have any aesthetic to the branding. It's just very kind of plain Jane. Mm-hmm. And I had looked around and just read reviews. But actually, while we're chatting, I'll text.
Who did you do your testing through, though? Was it like
same
through a
company?
Doc? Oh, it was the same company.
Yeah, same,
oh, okay.
Totally private. Or like, you know, we just looked it up and said, let's do this. This looks really cool.
I need to do it with my kids, too. Like I said, my husband's like such a worrywart about money. And I was like, I'm doing this. And just deal with it. But at the same time, like one of my sons deals so much with anxiety and with his ADHD that really it would be nice to know. But then he's so freaking picky. I don't know what the heck he would eat. But maybe.
But at least you would know what's triggering maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
then
maybe if he knew and had that power that he would be more adventurous with food. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? That he might be willing to try more.
Yeah. There were two questions. So we went to this wellness weekend and this gal who used to do this professionally is retired and whatnot, Ruth. She asked two questions. She said, and these always have impact on your, I always call it the biodome. Microbiome, but I always call it the biodome of my belly.
Biodome. Mine's a bit of a biodome.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. we're here for you. We hear this. But she said, find out if you were a vaginal or C-section birth.
Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. That was on the one I listened to.
And that was fascinating. And then the other one, did you take a lot of antibiotics as a kid? Mm-hmm. And she said those two things had such a big impact on your microbiome.
Insanely huge effects, especially those childhood exposure events. And like my guts, I've always had a messed up microbiome, and I have a lot of allergies. And that's totally the root to food allergies, is that disrupted microbiome. And then you've got these kind of leaky interstitial cell areas that allow particles of chemicals that should never enter your bloodstream to kind of leak through.
Fecal contaminant, yeah.
And yeah, now and just, and like even like single antigens, you know. And so when you look at like this whole evolving body of like Western modern healthcare epidemics, so much of it stems from that disrupted microbiome. And I was one of those kids, like I grew up on a farm, you know, so we had chickens, we have, you know, we'd be out feeding the cattle, like I lived in the dirt and with livestock. But I was really sick when I was like 6 years old and almost died. I had sepsis. And so I got nuked for like months with antibiotics. And shortly thereafter, boom, severe allergies, mm-hmm. boom, wow. Food allergies, allergic to eggs. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had chickens for crying out loud. I'm like, what a buzzkill.
Right?
Get eggs. I'm like, yep. I can't even eat those.
That's a trip. So when you got your biome balanced out, have you been able to reintroduce those foods?
Well, yes and no. So when I did initially get it balanced out, like in high school, I was really obsessed with kombucha making. This was in the early,
we've talked about kombucha.
This was in the 1989.
That was way before anybody knew what
it
was.
My mom's friend Paula ended up with the Siberian tea mushroom, and I'm like, cool. And she's like, it's so good for digestion. I'm like, even better. So I was like making kombucha and like yogurt with all the probiotics, like Nancy's yogurt. Mm-hmm. Oh, I lived in Eugene in college. So
that's where my family's from.
Oh, my goodness.
All about the Nancy's yogurt.
Oh, all about the Nancy's. Yeah. And so I kind of went into my 20s suddenly being able to eat a lot of these foods that had given me problems before. And I was like, thank God, this is awesome. But then, boom, I had my first child, and they all came back.
Really?
Exactly. Yeah. Me too. Allergic to everything growing up. Wow. Hit college. Could eat anything I wanted.
Yeah.
Perimenopause.
Glory years.
Boom, allergies.
Yeah. And then, again, that perimenopause, because now I'm like closer to 50 than 40. And I feel like, again, that's really changing. And then, as I was telling Ashley earlier this morning, I got in a car accident in 2019 and I had to have surgeries to fix the injuries. But then it was COVID. So, of course, you couldn't go get surgeries. So, all this time later, I finally get in. It was like two surgeries back to back. You know, and of course, you want antibiotics when they're doing surgery on you. It's like one time you really want antibiotics. But oh my gosh, the gut microbiome was so messed up from that. And I don't know what it was about that particular thing, but I'm still not feeling quite right. Hmm. And that was fall of 2020.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I remember my dad having surgery years ago, and foods tasted different to him. Like, all these things happen following surgery, even, like, behavioral changes that you... And I just have heard these in passing, like, after wisdom teeth, all of a sudden someone doesn't like this food or that food, or they like a different food. Mm-hmm. So that is so curious to me to really research, to look at that and to... I mean, it's such powerful information to have in your arsenal, because if you know that all of these things happen as a result of the medical things that you've gone through, then it's just something to be aware of. And to look into, and then find the tools to kind of help you get back.
Yeah, take it seriously.
Yeah, and to treat yourself naturally rather than just taking it. Well, so I have reflux, and I get so frustrated with myself because I'll eat things I know I'm not supposed to. But then I was taking like Prevacid in the morning, and then sometimes I'd still take Pepcid AC at night because I'd cough. I'm nocturnal coughing. And I didn't know what it was for years. And I finally...
You definitely need to stay on that until that's taken care of.
Well, I don't
like the nurse in me is like,
oh,
okay.
I know. So I stopped taking them and I hardly am coughing at all.
Oh, wow.
I knew I had an ulcer on my larynx at one point. So that's why I was super reactive to everything. I was coughing at everything that I ate. Once I got that healed up, mm-hmm. it kind of came back at one point and I was coughing a lot again. So I started taking them. But now I feel like it's healed and I'm chewing my food better. I'm cooking more of my vegetables because, you know, they said with reflux, the raw veg sometimes is really irritating.
Do you take enzymes, like digestive enzymes?
Yeah, and I have for years.
Do you find that like, if you don't have them along, does it make a big difference?
I just have been taking them for so long that I don't think, kind of, I just know that, like,
recently, if I miss one meal without my enzymes, and I'm only 3 weeks into this, huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huge difference.
So we were talking about, so my digestive enzymes say to take it before you eat, and hers are after. What do you think?
Weird.
Like, these are a pill and hers are a chewable. It makes more sense to me that you would take it after, but maybe this is like preparing for the, I don't know.
I think it probably depends on what the actual.
What it is.
Yeah, exactly. And if it's like enterically coated or not enterically coated. And like, there's so many different things that would have to do with the context of the brand.
Okay.
But, you know, when you think about how your body works, you know, the food goes down the hatch.
Yeah.
You're supposed to chew it, and that's supposed to like set off supply chain reaction. But I mean,
50 years later, I find out I'm supposed to chew my food.
Or like, or you have dental problems.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I like had some dental problems, and I got into this habit of like only chewing on one side.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just half-ass it. You're like, okay, good enough. And it's so not helping. So it's just one of those things. But, you know, that kind of sets off that gut reaction,
well,
or a chain reaction, saliva.
That break it down, yeah.
Yeah, and then it goes down and, the gut starts kicking in. But usually, you know, from my understanding, like when you look at things going through, like scans, you know, like the food hits and it starts to churn and then it injects the enzymes. You can see it if you put like a fluoroscopy,
so cool.
You know, like if you have some sort of dye, you should YouTube it sometime. It's really fascinating to watch how food moves
through.
It's
like through. A car wash in
there. Oh,
yeah.
That's
it
a
is
fun
totally like
Friday
a car
night
wash.
For Shannon. She's all over that YouTube video.
Yeah. Doing it.
It's so crazy. But, you know, one of the things I really think about, and my delving into agricultural systems has made me think about this with a whole new lens, because I actually have a degree in botany, which is kind of odd. I mean, not very many people do. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we always really understood the importance of like the rhizosphere, and it's basically the gut microbiome of the plant, because the plant does all of its eating from absorbing things out of the soil, mm-hmm. and then it pulls in, of course, what it needs through photosynthesis, sunlight, water, you know. And it's interesting because for many, many years, I don't think we fully appreciated how essential that symbiotic relationship is with the funguses and with the microbes in the soil. But now that we're looking at post several decades of very chemically intensive agriculture, where we've essentially nuked the soil with antibiotics. I mean, like Roundup is like an antibiotic, essentially.
Yeah.
And, you know, like pesticides and herbicides, they have kind of almost like a sterilization effect on the soil. So we've seen a massive decrease in the actual probiotic health of the soil. And now what we're finding is that the plants have mineral deficiencies,
sure.
because we needed those little symbiotic mm-hmm. enzymes and all those signals. They're constantly talking to each other and exploiting each other. Like literally, like they exploit one another to get what they want. But it's cool because they excrete all these sugars and chemicals and enzymes, and that's kind of how they get each other to do their work and then have optimal health. And so I was thinking, God, you know, these agronomists and soil guys I know are kind of like doctors and nurses, like, but they are caring for plants and for the soil and for the rhizosphere and that whole microbiome that ties that whole scene together. And I was like, you know, I wonder if healthcare and digestive healthcare focus, like microbiome focus, should spend some time with agronomists and like really study that, because I'd be willing to bet there's a lot more in common than there is separate, even though they're in completely different systems.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these are microbes trapped in our gut, different environment, but the microbes don't care. They may as well be in the soil if that's where they are selected to be living. It's just another environment to them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We just think about it different because it's inside us, but really to the microbes, it's just another environment. And I think it would revolutionize the way we look at that stuff.
One of the things Ruth shared with us was get your shoes and socks off and get your feet in the dirt. Get your gloves off and do not garden with gloves on. Mm-mm. Get your hands in the dirt and quit washing them 100 times a day, unless, of course, you're in a medical profession or you've just gone
somewhere
to the bathroom.
High risk, yeah.
She goes, other than that, let your hands be dirty. Let your feet be dirty with the earth.
Mm. Did she say, let your dog kiss you in the face? Wasn't that her, too? Or
she
was
had,
that the other guy I was listening to?
Yep, she had a client that her biodome, let's just use my word for it.
We
her
biodome
was not good, and at her follow-up, she was way better. And she goes, what's changed? She goes, well, I got a dog. And the dog was licking her face. And so we're sharing microbes through contact with each other, with our animals and whatnot. And she said that was it. I mean, the dog was bringing in different microbes into her system that were helping her gut.
Yeah, and I feel like people just think, okay, if it's a microbe, it's bad. You know, like, we don't want it. But for every one bad guy, there's like a bazillion good guys. And, yeah, it's a really powerful notion. Like, studying sourdough culture is a weird thing because, you know, I was like, oh, sourdough is fascinating. What I didn't realize is that if you're a baker and you've kept a sourdough for quite some time, even if you give a sourdough away to somebody else, it actually has some genetic material from the baker that it carries with it.
Their hands.
Yeah, to where they can trace it.
That's amazing.
And I was like, mind blown. Mm-hmm. I just never thought about it like that. And I was like, that is fascinating.
So this one doctor I listened to, he's like, if you have to eat bread, eat white sourdough. Because he talks a lot about lectins, right? Which I'm sure you know all about lectins. So he's really big into staying away from a lot of whole grains, certain whole grains, right? You know, or to sprout them. Or God, I mean, it goes on. And you can like exhaust yourself.
Oh, yeah. Understanding you can drive yourself crazy with that stuff. Yeah.
But that was fascinating. But I had an clinical nutritionist that was my patient for years, and she's like, I eat sourdough toast every morning, slathering Kerrygold, like the grass-fed butter, you know what I mean? So
people have lived on that for like millennia.
Yeah, so sourdough has those enzymes that help. Yeah, so it's fascinating.
I have a weed allergy. Mm-hmm. I heard sourdough is not that bad for you if you have a weed allergy.
It depends on what your wheat allergy is. Okay. Like that, it's a fairly loose term, I think, for a lot of people. So I think there's can be some confusion in that. Like, because if you are truly allergic to wheat, usually because the same antigens present, it's gonna trigger the same reaction. Okay. Or if you're an autoimmune person and you literally have an autoimmune reaction to gluten or gliadin, which that is a celiac, whether it's sourdough or not, you're gonna have trouble because it's still there. But that being said, I think that the vast majority of people who don't tolerate gluten probably have neither allergy nor necessarily like full-blown autoimmune, but have a sensitivity to highly processed wheat that's not fermented naturally.
Mm-hmm. You're allergic to Roundup.
And it's covered with chemicals.
Yes.
Like, gosh. I mean, no wonder your gut's rejecting that stuff. Yeah. I mean, and so it's tough to know. Like, there's definitely people with wheat allergies. And, I'm in that camp. Like, it makes me itch. Like, wheat makes me itch. And always has, ever since I was a little kid. And I wanted to drive combine really bad because that was the good money in high school. And I was I couldn't do it. Yeah, because I would just, like,
touch
swell.
It,
like, my eyes would fall shut. And
goodness.
So, yeah, and so, but then again, it's, like, even still, so I know a really great boutique baker in Spokane. And I know the farmer who grows all the wheat. And he makes amazing bread and the most beautiful, like, whole wheat croissants. And I'll cheat a little bit for that croissant because I tell you, that's the best damn croissant in the world. But, you know, we'll get a loaf of bread and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to have, like, an avocado toast or something because it just looks good. And I always have to take a Zyrtec afterwards.
Yeah.
Even though it's, like, no Roundup ever, like, grown regeneratively, stone milled on site, slow fermented, and still. And the baker's always like, that can't be. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, sometimes it just is. Like, I don't mean to blow your hypothesis, but.
Yeah. So that would be your test, is to get yourself an organic, locally made sourdough and just see what happens, right?
Yeah.
Like, probably from like Zeppole or from like one of the local bakers.
Oh, and there's amazing bakers down here.
Yeah.
You always have a good scene.
If you can find like an organic one that is made sure that there's no.
I need
Roundup
a,
and stuff.
Is there an organic tomato I can eat? That
Tomatoes
on my no list.
Oh,
and
boo.
I
how sad.
Every day, every day. So that's been tough.
Did you have food tests like a food?
I did the biome test where you send in your blood and all that, and it came back with your no list and tomatoes on there. And in 3 weeks, it's right.
Wow.
Yeah, because I'm not having it.
And now you feel
100% better.
She's dropped like
100% better.
Because she's on so inflamed.
Gosh.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm dying to know. Yeah. Plus with my reflux, because I know I can tell right when I eat something I'm not supposed to. That But I've stopped my meds and
sometimes
I'm hardly
it's
doing
things
it.
That you'd never guess.
Ever.
Like, frequently it's healthy foods. Like, I did a blood panel and they were like, kidney beans. And I'm like,
Yes.
Like kidney beans?
On mine too.
I'm like, oh, really? It's the most random
and
thing.
And almonds.
Oh, no way.
I ate the hell out of almonds.
Oh, my goodness.
Out of our pantry before? Almonds.
Wow.
Can they get no other healthy?
Yeah.
No.
It's all about context. That's the thing with like healthy versus non-healthy foods. I always get kind of frustrated with people who try to push the, you know, the real evangelical concepts. I was talking to you about that a little bit this morning too, about foods being good or evil or whatever, because a lot of times it has to do with how they're prepared, where they came from, and what your body is.
Yep.
Like everyone's body is so different.
Yeah.
One of the things Ruth also pointed out that was shocking was you should have your body weight in ounces of water every day.
Holy cow.
Holy crap.
Holy crap is right. Doing it, feeling right. Amazing.
Wow.
And I think I'm losing weight because I am running to the bathroom all day.
Maybe you're flushing off that inflammation.
Holy moly. Yeah. I'm about to 100, and I'll be the first one to admit I don't weigh 100. So let's just say. But at 100 ounces of water a day, I feel like I'm drinking all day.
Yeah.
My weight in ounces of water, I'm like, whew, that's a lot of water.
Yeah, I mean, think about like a 32-ounce container. Or, like you're like, okay, I better be going through.
All day. From the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep.
I always heard it was half of what your body weight is what you should drink in water.
That seems more
More realistic. Yeah.
Well, just because, I mean, honestly, like.
I might have been drunk. Okay. Let's just admit this. Ruth will be sure to reach out and correct me on that. I might have been drunk.
I wonder if it's half because I know, you know, depending on.
And do too much.
You can do too much. Yeah. And like with salts and stuff,
deplete your sodium, right?
Right. Yeah. And hypervolemia or hyponatremia. So too little salt, too much water. Either one can be a potentially
lethal
condition.
Yeah, I'm not
going to
go low on salt.
Yeah, you better not. Yeah.
No.
Not drinking that much water. So, but you know, we had a couple people in the ICU over the years and in ER that they were drinking so much,
too much water.
Got very, very sick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, 100 seems to be my sweet spot, so I'm sticking with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's working. Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
You're feeling good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I started taking these supplements, right, from what it's adding back into my biodome, and I am peeing electric yellow. Like it could glow in the dark. It's fascinating.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
B vitamins and all
must
that.
Must be.
Oh,
My B vitamins and D. I gave some to my boss one time. He wasn't feeling well. And I was like, here, you need some vitamin D. And so he was super tired. So I was like, here, take some D and take some B complex and da da da. And he came out of the bathroom and he goes, is my pee supposed to look like that? Is that going to go away? It's okay. It's
my radioactive.
You're just peeing out the excess that you didn't use.
But you're going to feel so much better.
So let's talk about kombucha. How did you say it?
Oh, the
kombucha.
I always say kombucha. But it's probably because we were just going at it on our own back in the day. And I'm one of those people that once I learn a word wrong, I can't ever correct myself.
It's your word.
It's
you
so sad.
You can say
sad.
It how you want.
Biodome.
No, but that was one of the things
like
Ruth talked about.
Your biodome. Biodome, yeah. Biodome. It's like stuck in my head. But kombucha is a really interesting thing, or kombucha, because it's like a complex community. The SCOBY
the
critter that makes it all. And
it's a little fugly thing. But
it really is. It's a fascinating thing.
It
my sister
so
used to
amazing.
Have one. Years ago, she had this ugly SCOBY in her. It was in the 90s. She had it in her kitchen. Big ugly thing. The mother.
The mother
was in there. So I made a little video for my little community that on this gut protocol, because we're trying to encourage each other to eat fermented things 3 times a week, like some kimchi or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I'm going to try kombucha because I don't like the smell of vinegar necessarily. And every time I've smelled kombucha, I found it offensive. Like,
it's got an intense smell.
But the taste was not bad. I tried a guava one, but I did a little video because we're all trying to encourage each other and try new things. And so,
she chased it with some blueberries.
Some blueberries. I like,
totally.
Just in case I had
and I love it.
I love it too.
I liked it
That's
too.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But in my both of my daughters love it. Like they'll literally go get a kombucha at the store. but my son wouldn't drink it to save his life. Oh, and they've had exactly the same exposure, but they all like water kefir. So if you don't like kombucha.
What is water kefir?
Like, have you ever seen
kefir, but not water kefir?
There's a brand that's more widely available. It's Kevita. I think it's K-E-V-I-T-A. Mm-hmm. And it's a water kefir, and it's like the lemon one. It's delicious. Yeah, and then you're getting your probiotics, but it's not with that super acidic kapow that you get from kombucha.
The kombucha did make me cough a lot. I did cough
a lot. It might be a little much for your stomach.
So, yeah, that night that I had it, and because it's also carbonated, I'm supposed to stay away from carbonated things. So maybe if I had it earlier in the day, it wouldn't be so bad. But it was, at one point, I didn't swallow it right, and I was like,
oh no. Don't want to neti pot that on accident.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I kind of want to do it now, though. I want to see somebody do it. Let's say.
Don't shake it up. I shook it up, and I was like, oh, my God.
It went everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh my
so
word.
She talked about the fermented foods are just as important, or they're figuring out they're – you know, fiber is a big thing, and everybody knows you got to have your fiber. Yes. Take your fiber. And she said they're finding out that fermented foods are just as important to that.
They really are. They, you think about historically how important fermented foods were in daily living before we had modern refrigeration and preservatives.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody ate.
It's so weird. Like, leave it on. I was looking at how to make fermented Verde salsa because my friend bought it at the co-op, and I love Verde, and that would be a good way for me to implement that. And it was like basically leave it on the counter for like 4 days.
Yeah,
so I was like, ew. But
as long as it's salty enough, you're good. And that's what drives that countertop fermentation is salt concentration. Trip. So, yeah, and there's some great recipes out there to, like, fermented carrot sticks are really good.
I probably like that.
Wow. It's kind of like everything you wish you loved in a carrot, like, but in a pickle. Mm-hmm. It's hard to describe.
Sweet and tart. Yeah.
It's like sweet, tart. It's
there's a recipe for fermented blueberries on my gut health thing that I have not had the guts to try yet.
Yeah. That might be kind of funky, but who knows?
I know. Yes. I know. Some of the girls, man, they're like, eh. So, yeah, it's been a fun little journey.
So getting our gut health in line prevents, helps with the anxiety. What else? Heart disease?
You know, the way I look at it with gut health is that it's much harder to create disease in an intact, healthy system.
Okay.
And so, like, you think about everything that could go wrong in the human body. Like, you know, if you have a really good, robust, healthy microbiome, it's like the first level of protection, you know? And so you've got that first level of protection. You have like a harmonious, you know, inner biochemistry. And I think if we really took a deep dive and treated it as like a, almost like a medicine, having a really balanced microbiome as a medicine, the research would show that it has significant impact on many, many things. But they can't patent it, really.
Right.
People are trying. But there's too much variation globally. They can't. There's no one perfect. But definitely mental health. Yeah, a whole suite of mental health. A whole suite of inflammatory autoimmune, for sure. Mm-hmm. Prevention of more allergies, definitely. You know, digestive issues like constipation, diarrhea, irritable bowel, like chronic acid reflux, like that whole suite of things. And, you know, I don't know as far as cancer and things like that. I really don't know. I don't know if there's
diabetes. I think there's
I would imagine because you think about like the root of diabetes and metabolic syndrome, like metabolic syndrome being like that greater like diabetes, high blood pressure, atherosclerosis, stroke, like the whole hypertension, the whole ball of wax, right? They tend to kind of gravitate in one little party. And, you know, you think about that whole clinical presentation and the diet that drives that tends to be kind of a microbiome destroying diet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know if there's any connections, if anyone's ever studied that, but I do know from my work in diabetes that there's a whole system of hormones called the incretin system. And the incretin system has all these little areas in the gut where it has sensors. And these sensors, I mean, I'm calling them sensors because that makes more sense than what they are in the biology book. But these little sensors communicate with the pancreas, and they regulate the feeling of being satiated. Mm-hmm. So it drives satiation. Mm-hmm. So
fullness.
Yeah, so if you
in case
so that feeling of fullness or like, oh, I don't need seconds or thirds or fourths. So when you think about, you know, having that intact, like, biofeedback with the gut and the pancreas and the liver and the blood sugar and everything, if your gut is disrupted, you've essentially damaged those sensors. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you look at people who are, like, in the hardcore addicted to junk food realm, they generally have horrible disrupted microbiomes, the whole nine yards. But they don't have that feedback mechanism is no longer intact. That satiety reflex is, like, broken. Mm. And I've long kind of theorized that maybe it has to do with that sensor.
I bet you that I should look into that with my dad, because he said, I don't feel like I have a full button. I don't ever. And I sometimes have that as well. But that, what's his name, Dr. Gundry, that I've listened to, he talks a ton about, I'm this cardiologist and I have these healthy people with normal cholesterol that are dying from heart disease, and it's all related to leaky gut. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, why are these people, and it's from lectins, and it's from, you know, the poor health and stuff. And it's, yeah, it was really fascinating.
Suite of things.
Yeah.
And it's a and it's such a circle, because when you feel bad, you don't want to work out. And when you don't work out,
You
add weight and you lose muscle mass. And when you do that, you eat whatever's easy. And it's just that full circle thing of you got to change something in the circle.
Yeah. And then productivity starts to drop, like engagement and community, mental fulfillment, and your, you know, relationship status. And it's all interconnected. Yep. Yep. You can't separate it out.
There's no excuses, people. Now we know.
Now we know. It's just putting it into action.
And there's a reason we say, oh, I have a gut feeling. You know, I mean, the gut has more nerve endings than our, I think, our, like, our brain or something crazy like that. I don't remember the actual stats, but it's a shocking number. Like, there are many who theorize that the true seat of a lot of our nervous system is actually the gut.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, do you not live in town then?
I live in Coeur d'Alene.
You live in Coeur d'Alene. Mm-hmm. So I think that when I get my results back, and Ashley, if you end up doing the test, we need to revisit this, like, even if we Zoom you in or something.
I've been thinking about doing the test, because my child going through that, I was like, oh, I need to do that, especially after
this. That's awesome.
This surgery and, like, the weird GI stuff that happened after that. And then I gained a bunch of weight, even though I didn't change anything else. Like,
well, that's our age. That's a bunch of
shit. Yeah, I know.
It totally happens.
I got to tell you, apparently it's not, though, because I am older every day, and now here we are, losing weight.
Right.
I think it's the gut as much as it is the age.
It very much, apparently. Very well may be. And the fact that we don't digest as well as we get older, like, so much of it is related to that. So,
I would love to do a follow-up.
I would love to do a follow-up, because we could talk. I mean, I could talk health stuff all freaking day. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
Yeah.
Clearly.
It's so important.
Oh, this is so fun.
Yeah, it is so fun.
We'll go. Yeah. So let's wrap it up. Yeah. Let's do a revisit.
Okay.
Poor Ashley. We didn't even get to talk to Ashley. Well, we just.
I had a great time. And I learned a lot. So
she knows when to speak over us when she wants a turn.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. But honestly, I don't feel like. I mean, I don't feel like I'm that out of balance. I don't feel like my gut health is I haven't done any research on anything or anything like that, but I just know what makes me feel good and what doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I know that if I gradually change something and I'm not jiving with it, I don't have any food addictions, really.
Yeah,
there's not anything
that
I
balanced with your exercise and your food and
so
everything. So
I just kind of listen to myself. You know, I know I feel better when I take enzymes. I do. Mm-hmm. My daily vitamin regimen, it's working.
Yeah,
and so
that's great.
I feel like
you're in stasis.
I kind of feel like I am. And age and get older, I feel like if something's not jiving. I'm not going to say it's my age. I'm going to just figure out something.
Pivot.
What's changed?
Yep, what's changed?
Pivot.
So. Pivot. I said pivot. If you say pivot one more time, Ross.
All right.
So let's,
let's wrap it up.
Okay.
Cheers to your health, y'all.
Cheers.
Right.
You are worth it.
Thank you for coming on our show.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Love your guts, people.
That's awesome.